The gospel reading today, our Lord tells us that we are to remain in his love, and that if we keep his commandments, we will remain in his love. And then tells us, here's my commandment, to love one another. So it sounds a little bit redundant. Like, okay, you have to remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. And if you love one another, therefore, then you'll remain in my love. It sounds pretty easy. And we don't do it. Think about this for a second. God had to take on our human nature, come down to earth, and command us to do the very thing that we were created to do. It's as if you became a fish to be able to go into the ocean and say to the fish, swim. It's like they'd say, well, that's what we do by nature. You don't have to command us to do what we were created to do. That's how badly sin has affected us. God had to come down and command us to do the very thing that he created us to do. And makes it very clear. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So the only thing that's going to bring joy is charity. That's different from being happy. Happiness is an emotion. Happiness is going to come and go. It's going to sway with the wind. Joy remains. If a person is truly joyful, it doesn't matter what else is going on in their lives, in the world, they remain joyful. The happiness may not be there, but the joy is. And the only way that they're going to be truly joyful is if they are doing what they were created to do, because it's the only thing that will fulfill them. So then we have to take it another step. Because Jesus says, here's my command, love one another as I have loved you. Then says, there's no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So again, he's making very clear to us that we're not talking about something emotional. We're not talking about something romantic. We're talking about a virtue. Again, the romantic stuff is going to come and go. The emotional stuff is going to come and go. True charity remains. So when we look at this and say, first of all, he tells us to love one another as he loves us. So again, just look straight in front of you and you can see how he loved us and continues to love us because he continues to offer himself as the sacrifice and then gives himself to us 100% in Holy Communion. That's how he loves us. And that's what he's telling us that we have to do for one another. So it may not be that we're actually going to have to be crucified, but for every last one of us, it is going to be, in a spiritual sense, that we have to be crucified. We have to die to ourself, because that's the only way that we can love. Selfishness is the opposite of love. And since we live in a totally self-centered society, that's what's being encouraged. As I keep pointing out, we come into this world as the most selfish little creatures on the face of the earth. And that's necessary for a baby so that they will survive. But the whole goal is to grow up, to grow out of being an infant, to grow out of the selfishness. And our society is trying to keep us in a spiritual infancy. Just be selfish. It's all about me. looking out for number one. Number one isn't God. Number one is me. We are in deep trouble because of our selfishness. And so as Christian people, we need to be countercultural. We need to stand against the tide, not give in to it. And this shouldn't even be an issue. It's like I said, this is the very thing for which we were created. We've got all of these things, and as I pointed out many, many times, go up into your attic, go down to your basement, go out to your garage, go to your storage shed, and look at all of the things that were going to make you happy. In fact, you are so convinced that they're going to make you happy that you won't throw them away. You absolutely have to have these, even though you haven't looked at it for years, but somehow this thing is going to make you happy. It's going to make you fulfilled. You have to have this thing. It doesn't make us happy because it's all about what I want. It's all about me. That's not what charity is. And so if we want true joy, it is going to be found only in dying to the self, not giving into the selfishness. It's going to be found only in loving. And when the Lord tells his apostles that they are to love one another, again, you need to look at that group of people that he chose. They are quite a diverse group of people. And yet he's asking them to love one another. So we look around and we can say, well, yeah, I can love a few people here because they're my friends. But those other people, no way. He didn't ask to love some. He just gave us a commandment to love. And that's everybody. So just as his apostles were a very diverse group of people, so that's what we're living in. And we have to love people because that's what's going to touch their hearts. It's what they were created for too. The difference is many of them maybe don't know that, but we do. And maybe what will happen is that by experiencing charity, they will be able to recognize that there is a difference in the way that you treated them as opposed to the way that all these other people have treated them. Because you had charity. So that's what all of us can think about. Again, for those of you who are married, this is the vow that you made. That you're going to die to yourself, that you're going to live for this other person, that you're going to sacrifice yourself for the sake of this other person. And so again, you can look at yourself and ask, how am I doing with that? It's not that you don't love your spouse, I'm sure you do. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you loving your spouse the way that you vowed to love your spouse? Are you truly dying to yourself? Are you truly seeking the good of the other? Are you putting the other before yourself? Are you building the other person up? All those kinds of things, just looking to how we can die to self. If we can actually do that, that's what's going to bring the joy. For people who are married, you have that beautiful reality built right in. And so you learn how to love this one other person, and then from there you take it to others. So it's loving God first, loving your spouse second, loving the rest of the people from there. If you're not married, focus on loving God and then loving the people that he brings into your life. And again, we have to look at the first reading. Actually, now it's the gospel again. And Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So he has chosen us. He has chosen us to do exactly what he has commanded us to do. So it's to be the leaven in the world, it's to be the light, it's to be the salt, it's all those sorts of things that we keep hearing about. But what does that mean? It means to bring the love of God into the world. He has chosen you and me to do that. If he's chosen us to bear fruit, how's that going to happen other than through charity? So what a wonderful opportunity for all of us to look at this. Matthias was chosen to give witness to the Lord's resurrection. You and I have been chosen to give witness to the Lord's love. Not just his resurrection, his passion, his death, his resurrection, the very person of Jesus, to bring him into the world by the way that we act, by the way that we speak. It's a huge challenge, especially in a world like ours that has gone totally astray. But if God has chosen us to go out into that darkness and be the light, if he has chosen us to go out into the selfishness of our world and be selfless, if he has chosen us to go into a world that does not know him and therefore it does not know love, and to bring his love into the world, what a privilege. What a challenge. A challenge just like what the apostles had, to bring Jesus into a world that did not know him, to bring him to pagan cultures, to bring him to cultures who didn't even know God. Welcome to America, a culture that doesn't know God, a culture that is pagan, a culture that is selfish. So we're in a situation similar in that way to what the apostles had. So Jesus chose them. God chose Matthias to be part of them. And now God has chosen you to be able to continue this work. Not necessarily to go out and preach to everybody the way the apostles did, but rather to bring the love of Jesus into the world. You will preach far more by your actions than you will by your words. And it is by the charity that comes from your heart that the hearts of others will be touched, that they will be brought to the Lord. That's the privilege that Jesus has given to all of us. Yeah, it would be a whole lot easier to fit in, be a whole lot easier to be just like everyone else. Jesus didn't choose you to be just like everyone else. He chose you to do what you were created to do, and to teach others to do the same, because that is what he has commanded us. Remain in his love if you do what he commands, and his command is to love.